Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glass.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, We're Drunk on Theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and when you believe that all I ever wanted without question was, and trust me, the wonders of the world. Sure, we're the queen of cities, but it's tough to be a god, though we are playing with the big boys in El Dorado. Mm. Whatever road's at your feet, go to the marketplace, not the brig, and as a 16th century man, bloom. Someday, out of the blue, if you deliver us through heaven's eyes and sing a river lullaby, then the trail we blaze will bring out the panic in me. Joining us today are the usual...
I'm laughing because it was so well said. It was a beautiful monologue this time, Brian.
I tried.
You did well.
Joining us today are the usual friends that never say goodbye as my heart dances to the plagues, including Kevin Miracle Child Jaeger.
Yes. Oh, that's what I've been saying forever.
Okay. Kimberly, our better than I game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes, I'm better.
And with us today are our two of our favorite guests and people. One you know from shows like Hairspray, Hello Dolly, Wicked, Chaplin, and Something Rotten. The other keeps figuring out our Zoom login, so it is what it is. No, you know him from Bombay Dreams and only Bombay Dreams. Maybe Newsies too. Meow. Let's give a big broad-waisted welcome to friends of the show.
Friends of the show.
Haley Pachoon and Aaron J. Albano.
Go ready for this.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We are.
Yeah.
Just to get this out of the way, guys, if you're watching in, you can always comment and they'll pop up on our screen so we can see what you said. And just so Adina knows, I am absolutely wearing it's actually a cardigan and a tie with no shirt because I feel like I'm looking forward in fashion and I just can't be stopped being a fashionista.
That's right.
You can't stop the beat.
Yeah, it's the red carpet. We're here to celebrate these DreamWorks animated films.
Yeah.
We should have dressed like 1999 red carpet.
Oh,
or we could have just dressed like the characters in these films, which would have been our bed sheets.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would have been so easier.
Well, on that note, what are you drinking? What are you drinking? Kevin, let's start with you.
I am drinking a red wine, a Rioja.
Nice.
It's really good because it has a screw cap, so it was just easy to get into.
Haley?
I ordered ramen from the place across the street from me tonight and was frantic and trying to eat it before we went live. And because in New York City, certain restaurants are open, you can get booze to go. So I got some sake to go.
Nice. I was nervous. You were like, I spiked my ramen with sake.
This is what the sake comes in. So I get to keep it after.
Cool.
Oh,
I'm going like to sake to me, right?
Sorry?
There's like a sake to me joke somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Cucumber and lime seltzer.
Oh, that's weird. I have a gin and tonic.
Mm.
That's elevated by a cucumber and lime seltzer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Aaron?
I'm drinking a Gnarly Head Pinot Noir.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, cool. Oh, I like that label.
Really, really good.
Too.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised. I have it left over from watching Ratatouille 2 hours ago. And so.
Oh, I love it. I'm drinking the Tanteo tequila on the rocks. With a hint of lime, and it's in my Wicked cup because I figure we're doing a prequel today, so why not bust out the prequel?
Because these two people have been in that show.
Yes,
also true. So let's get right into it. Today we are talking the DreamWorks animated movies. We're doing the DreamWorks animated movies. That was our homework this week. We watched in chronological order, we watched The Prince of Egypt from 1998. We watched
Joseph
King of Dreams, which is from 2000. And also from 2000 is The Road to El Dorado.
Chronological, like, release date, not like how they occurred.
No. And I think that's how we'll talk about them. So we'll open with Prince of Egypt. We'll talk a little prequel work. Did Kevin go away?
Kevin quit.
He was like, I refuse to listen to it in that order. And then we'll talk about Road to El Dorado. Welcome back.
I'm trying to figure out how to respond to my comments that I, by mistake, signed myself out.
We thought you were upset that that's the order we were talking about.
I quit the play.
So let's get started. Let's talk Prince of Egypt from 1998, animated. Let's just straight up start with, what is your relationship with this movie? We'll go around. Kimberly, let's start with you.
Sure. So it came out when I was a youth. I remember wanting to do it in a, like, wanting to sing the song in a talent show, but I did something else for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, like, standing backstage. When was this, 98?
Yes.
Great. So I would have been doing my star turn as Lucy in Your Good Man Charlie Brown at Chesterfield Elementary School.
Well, it was released in December of 1998. So this may be been a 99 situation for you.
So yeah. So that would be my Charlie Brown year.
Great.
So I think I was, like, singing it backstage. And I was very into it. Loved a musical. My mom has a really big crush on Val Kilmer, so it was a good movie choice for her to have around.
Sure. Nice. Moses and God.
Crazy.
they were trying to figure out a way to do God in a way that's never done before, and they decided to go with the voice you hear inside of your head, so they used the same actor to kind of do the voice there.
Was that the reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia says.
I did no research further than reading Wikipedia.
Watched the movie and looked at IMDb.
Great.
But I hadn't watched it in a long time until today.
Cool. Aaron, what's your relationship with The Prince of Egypt?
I remember watching it in the movie theater, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think, 98? Oh, gosh. This means I was a freshman in high school.
College, I see.
Yeah, graduating.
I was actually buying my first house at 30 years old.
That's about right.
I feel like I remember it being, it was the, like, other option to the Disney movies. So
sure.
It was kind of one of those, like, oh, this looks new. This looks exciting. Oh, and there's, like, a Boy I Want song. Let's go and see how it goes. On top of the fact that Whitney and Mariah were all over the radio.
Oh, sure.
And so that was if there was any good, like, press to come out of them singing that song, it was to get you to want to watch the movie. Yeah, I think outside of that.
Have you watched it recently aside from this time?
Say again?
When was the last time you watched it before this?
I want to say it was then. I want to say it was then. Sure, I have not watched it again since.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, like any good, like, Christian boy, it was like, ooh, Bible musical. Let's go watch it.
Sure.
Here we go.
Haley?
Sorry, I have to unmute myself because Maisie was barking. I didn't really figure out when this movie came out, but you said 99. So I was working on Broadway when this came out. So I never remember this coming out. I feel like it was a movie that I completely missed in my childhood. I feel like every boy who's in musical theater is obsessed with this film. And after watching it, I have a lot of questions about their love for it, but those boys in general.
Sure.
So this was my first time ever being introduced to it and experiencing it.
Kevin?
I never saw the movie. I didn't really know much about it happening. I just knew the Mariah and Whitney cover. And a friend of mine spent, like, an entire evening going over how it's so fascinating that it's a song all about, like, believing in each other. But, like, by the end, they're literally just competing to see who can riff better. And so it's really amazing from a performance perspective. So we like wrote this whole like thesis that we were going to present in class that we never did. That we were like, this is brilliant because like they are like thinking about how it's better if you believe, but they're literally fighting to riff better, and you can hear them almost getting angry at each other. So that was
there's also this like YouTube video, and please, if anybody can find it, send me the link, because there's this interview that Whitney does where she is throwing complete shade at Mariah, where she's like talking about like the riffs, what riffs are versus what runs are.
Yeah.
I can't find it.
Oh,
and I tried to find it.
That's why, like, I literally pictured whatever, like, I want to see, like, two drag queens do this song, but, like, do it where they're, like, trying to murder each other while they're singing. Like, like, so right for it with, if you listen, the actual voices and the intention.
So, my experience with this is I'm on the same page as Haley and Kevin. I never saw it. I saw it for the first time this weekend. I will say I thought I saw it. No, I thought I saw it because of the music video. What did you say?
Like as a Passover tale?
No, Rugrats Passover 100% all the time.
Oh my god!
But I mean, this is no Rugrats Passover, but we'll get into that. I thought I saw it because I'd seen the music video, the Mariah version and Whitney version, but I just had never seen it. Also, when you know the story, you kind of can like almost fill in your own blanks of what it is. So I like convinced myself I'd seen it. I definitely didn't see it. But let's go around. Let's do like just your overall thoughts, and then we'll kind of dig down a little deeper into it. Aaron, your high level thoughts. Yes, Aaron, let's start with you.
So watching it now was definitely an experience.
Sure.
I will say like watching, well, firstly, we texted about it a little bit, but the disclaimer at the beginning.
Yes.
Where they're like, just so you know, this might not be exactly what you read in the Bible, but what you find in the Bible is in Exodus. So go read it if you want to.
Yeah, but they're like, you know, tone-wise, we think it matches.
They're like, we think that this artistically is telling the story that the Bible tells. So have fun.
Those are jarring. I don't remember those from like popping the VHS in as a kid.
But it's like you were watching a documentary animated, and they were like, we've tried to do the best animated documentary we can. Our
names have been changed for privacy.
Yeah.
Which I feel like had that like disclaimer not. You guys disagree? Had that disclaimer not happened, I would have probably enjoyed it a little more, because once that disclaimer happened, all I could watch were the differences in like what I knew of the story versus what they were telling me.
See, I felt that way too. I felt like I was like honing in on the things that they changed, and I would have
gone. Whoa. You're saying that Ramses and Moses didn't have a chariot race up a scaffolding and knock a nose off? I think that's in the Bible.
But that's what I feel like people most of the times going to the theater like respect that like what we're seeing is like a movie. So like of course you're gonna add like a love interest or add this or that to make it more of like what we all came to see. Like that's why I came to see a movie.
Yeah, it was just one of those things of like it definitely like I feel like it should shone a spotlight on like, hey, this isn't going to be what you know. And then instead of being able to just let it go, it almost made me focus on it more, which was
interesting.
I think what it really did was this film to me, like if I can hop in with just what my like top thoughts are, I thought I had a good time with it.
High level
thoughts. Sorry, my top thoughts. I don't have a top one, so I don't have thoughts. So I think that this movie took itself incredibly seriously. Very, very serious. And I think that like thing at the beginning we were just talking about is like was a real sign of like, oh, here we go. Like there, because I think that even shows how serious they took the creation of the film, that they like wanted to make sure they didn't offend anyone from the beginning. So like you're almost apologizing for your product before you even like let it be out there.
Yeah.
So, like, I felt like because they were that, like, serious and grave about what they were doing, like, I wish this movie had a little bit more, like, life to it. But, like, mm-hmm. I still enjoyed it. I thought it was, like, a decent, like, dramatization. And I could see the music is fun enough that I was like, oh, I can see this. It's like a rock and stage show.
Because I also I also loved the, like, I thought without the disclaimer, it was a pretty good translation of the story. Granted, you have to make choices and whatever, whatever, whatever. Like the way they, one of my favorite parts of the movie, granted, you have to know the plagues, like all 10 of them. But yeah. The sequence of the plagues, I think, is really strong.
So I think that's one of the strengths of this film in general is the visual storytelling. Everything from the Moses coming back and telling them about the bush, and like that all happens from afar. It almost feels like it was a stage. Like there's a lot of animation without voice work and montage at the beginning, middle, and end that really do a great job of visual storytelling. That was something I wrote down in my notes. That's something that this movie does definitely well. Kimberly, your thoughts, your high-level thoughts.
High-level thoughts. It was a little slower than I remembered.
Sure.
Like, the pacing of the songs, as well as the pacing of the story. Mm-hmm. I also, in rewatching, this is sort of a high-level thought for all of these DreamWorks movies, mm-hmm. that they love a song that is sung internally.
Yes. And I did not like that.
I did. I just wanted Moses and Ramesses to sing to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like stare while the song happens in the background.
Sure.
Like, especially like All I Ever Wanted. And I mean, and this goes with
great
like,
song, in James Hook.
With Joseph, too. I'm literally like, hey, how about you let your main character sing their own I Want song? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hercules gets to sing I Can Be the Distance.
I'd be way more on. Yeah. I was like, let them sing why we're supposed to root for them. Instead of like
a music video.
Yeah, I think we could definitely talk about that when it comes to El Dorado and just like wanting to be in there. But mm-hmm. like the diegetic versus non-diegetic, just got to say it. And how it's working in this one is definitely kind of inconsistent. Haley, your thoughts on the first time watching it high level?
I had heard it was a religious movie, but I didn't really know it was religious. And then as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh no, this is where we're going. And I immediately shut off. Like, mm-hmm. I wrote notes because I needed to talk about something.
Sure.
But,
what?
Well, these are for all three of the movies. But most of my...
Live audience.
I mean, should I read a few of my thoughts?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A burning bush talks to him? No. Blood in the sea? No thanks.
That was creepy.
Everyone is really taking their time crossing that parted sea.
I would think that too. I was like, I would be like pushing in front of
people.
Yeah. I was there.
So casual.
Whale.
They probably knew they'd be desert. They'd be walking through the desert 40 years. They were saving their energy.
Because when Aladdin did it, when Aladdin did it in the Prince of Thieves, they all booked it through. Like,
yes, I thought about that too.
I just love that Haley has issues with the Book of Exodus rather than the Prince of Egypt.
Yeah. She's like, it was fine. I wasn't into the source material.
No, I'm not. I am a spiritual person. I am not a religious person. Unfollow me now if you want to. That's fine. I couldn't do it.
Well, I think that that's one thing that I also found while watching this movie is Kevin brought it up before. It took itself so seriously. And when you have Martin Short and Steve Martin as your comic relief, and they don't do anything remotely enjoyable,
correct.
I'm just like, why did you pay them to be in this movie? Those could have been, like, you just paid them for name. There was none of the comic relief worked for me in this at all. And,
it wasn't really, like, in panic from Hercules, but they couldn't be cool enough.
No, absolutely. It was just, it really felt all bogged down. It was just like sad Jews after sad Jews after sad Jews. And I just like, I needed some like funny Egyptians in there.
And plus like my namesake, like Jeff Goldblum, like I was like, what are you doing?
Jeff Goldblum. Oh,
well, I want to bring that up as my next question. One of the things that this movie is often touted for is its incredible voice work. The people usually mention the animation, the music, and the voice work. I think that's something to talk about because these people would not be voicing these characters if this was made today.
Oh, I literally wrote down the animation looks like a bad ride at a local theme park.
Whoa! Drag that.
I like the animation. I thought the animation did a nice job of showing the vastness of Egypt.
The hotness of Moses.
One thing that I will say, I feel like they do establish the relationship between Ramses and Moses very well.
The brother.
Yeah, the brother.
Oh, you mean Batman and Voldemort?
Oh, yeah, that's where the voice work really locked me, is Ralph Fiennes as the Pharaoh. I was just like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But I thought that the way they like set up their like brotherly betrayal, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, sure.
Really, oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I also think that Stephanie just brought up in the comments, Brian Stokes Mitchell singing Through Heaven's Eyes is her highlight of the movie.
100%.
Honestly, it's obviously, we all know what Stokes sounds like. So like, as soon as Danny Glover stops and he starts, it's just like, oh, okay.
My note literally says, I knew it was Brian Stokes before Googling.
But I do think that if you didn't know like very specifically that voice and Danny Glover and whatnot, it actually is a good like continuity between the two.
That's the first moment where I was like looking down and doing something and I was like, oh, Brian Stokes Mitchell. Like, I looked up.
Yes.
Can I also ask, those of you who've done research on this movie, is it Sandra Bullock and Michelle Pfeiffer singing?
Michelle,
no.
Oh, no.
Not Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock had somebody singing for her. Michelle Pfeiffer does.
Sally Dworsky is singing for Sandra Bullock. And Michelle Pfeiffer, according to Wikipedia, sings.
Yeah, she sings her own thing.
Get it, Baltimore Crabs. You better.
True.
Wanted to bring up a couple more things before we get to this. The album just came out for the stage show in London. So that's something to listen to. I didn't listen to it for this, but like something to kind of do that. If you were to see this in the West End, if it ever comes to Broadway, what would you look for in the stage adaptation in terms of... Live horses, great. Awesome.
I mean, the plague sequence, again, is one of my favorite. I assume that would be hopefully done very well.
Sure.
Same thing with the parting of the Red Sea. I'm sure that would be like a grand spectacle.
Yeah, how do you do it on stage?
Fabric.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Probably. Oh. Fabric and puppets.
So we can talk through this. The Rotten Tomatoes score is 80%.
Wow. Okay.
The critics' consensus is the Prince of Egypt's stunning visuals and first-rate voice cast are more than compensate for the fact that it's better crafted than it's emotionally involving. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was also DreamWorks' first ever full animated film.
Yes.
Like, a strong first go.
Oh, well, I mean, good for them. But why
do we also
this?
Know what the like parallel Disney movie was at the time? Was it like...
I could double check. But while I'm...
On, right?
While it might be. While I'm checking that, we're going to move on to the prequel, if you will. But any final thoughts or things that you kind of want to leave us with? And or if anybody from watching this has a question, type it in. We're happy to answer it as well.
Yeah.
But Kimberly, what were any final thoughts on it?
Oh, I still had a good time watching it, and I think the music is all very pretty.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, Suf's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What order did you watch it in, guys? Also,
I watched El Dorado last week, and then I watched Prince of Egypt and Joseph today. What a morning!
Go ahead, Aaron.
I watched them in chronological historical order.
Okay.
I watched Joseph, and then I watched Prince of Egypt, and then I watched El Dorado.
Haley.
Oh, I watched El Dorado first. Prince of Egypt, and then Joseph.
I watched it. I watched Prince of Egypt, then Joseph, then El Dorado.
Well, and any final thoughts on all those?
I mean,
not on all of them, just on the other one.
Prince of Egypt. Final thoughts. I'll just say, I think that it's a true testament to how good of a song "When You Believe" is.
Old Testament.
The movie version is like a really strong, pretty, like soft version of the song that becomes like an anthem as they're walking. And then to have that also work as like the pop diva anthem is like pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, no Disney movies came out that December. That November, the Pokemon movie came out. And in terms of what it was going up against directly, Babe, Pig in the City, of course.
Of course.
And then that December, you also had like Jack Frost, the Michael Keaton one, like the funny, fun one where the dad turns into a. But that there was nothing really there. I can look at summer releases, but that was kind of, there was nothing directly up against it.
Cool.
Stephanie, I did not watch the Saturday Seder, so I didn't see that one, you believe. But I bet it was very good.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I saw a clip of it with Shoshana and Cynthia Erivo.
Cool.
I'm just still questioning why so many people are obsessed with this movie. Like, I just don't get it.
I think there's not a nostalgia attached to it.
I
think it's like as a kid seeing like really strong I want songs instead of like flighty princesses was cool.
Yeah.
It's a slow Bible story.
Couldn't do
I
it.
Enjoyed this more after watching it. I was bored while watching it, but yes. I definitely like understand how it is a good movie. Just, I was a little bored while watching it.
Sure.
That's fair.
What were you saying, Kevin?
I was just saying, so we're moving on to Joseph.
Yeah. So this did so well that DreamWorks was like, let's try and do this again, but let's just put it on video.
Right.
It's the return of Jafar.
Yes. So Joseph, King of Dreams came out in 2002. It's the first direct-to-video from DreamWorks. This is an adaptation of Joseph. This was this is a prequel, if you will, to that. This has a very big cast who may or may not be phoning it in. And essentially, you know, let's
look at any of the voice actors.
Ben Affleck as Joseph.
Ben Affleck.
No, he's not. Yes.
Money for that.
I'm assuming that nobody saw this before this weekend.
No.
Okay.
Well, I watched it Easter Sunday.
Yes.
And I was like, ugh, fast forward.
I had never watched it, but when this movie came out was roughly around when I got to college, and John Buchino was huge when
He's
I was in college.
He's so good.
And so Better Than Who's I that? Was being sung by, he wrote the music.
Oh, okay.
And so John Buchino was Better Than I was being sung by everyone.
One of his big things was called It's Only Life. It was like a musical review of his songs that like Gavin Creel and a bunch of people recorded in an album. It was super good. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Better Than I was like the song that all the baritone
are singing in my head. The Joseph Guy One song can get it. Like it's good.
If I forgot my computer charger. I'll be right back.
Great.
Okay.
So Aaron, do you want to talk a little bit about the adaptation?
Sure. Like synopsis adaptation or just like,
no, just like the adaptation of the Genesis story, right? Genesis.
I didn't really know this story at all. Cause I've also never seen Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, okay.
I was watching this and I kept looking at Jay being like, what? Who's this? Why?
I watched this right after seeing the like 50th anniversary Joseph concert they just did.
Oh, so this was just as good.
So I was like, maybe we can just get Jessica Vosk and Ina Spinoza up in here to like belt their faces off, and Alex Newell, please. Like
first of all, I think visual storytelling again here, when I was more intrigued when he's in the dreams and like all of that, even though it's like kind of bad CG from the computer.
Dream was nice.
It was interesting. Like it was very like What Dreams May Come.
Very nice.
I thought What Dreams May Come too. It was totally.
I love that movie.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the reason I bring that up is because, I absolutely, when he was telling Pharaoh his dreams, I was waiting for like 7 years of bumper crops are on their way. Oh, like I was like, but I guess what really struck you about this? Did you have a favorite moment? Did something like, even though like it may have been of lesser quality than the other movies you watch, what kind of popped for you?
I will say I do because like a good Bible school kid, like I know these stories very well. And with this movie, like because it had the disclaimer at the beginning again, it was very like,
oh, right. Okay, that same disclaimer.
That's different.
Oh, but, yeah. James is putting stuff out.
And so like, even like the fact that like Judah was the oldest brother and not Reuben, I was like, yo, why are we changing that? That said,
because Mark Hamill was the voice.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What?
Luke Skywalker was played the oldest brother.
Yes.
Those brothers did him dirty in this one more than I've ever seen before.
They were assholes.
The brother. Well,
yeah.
And I will say that is the one like difference of the like how we know the story at the end when he like all of his tactics are like about like giving his brothers the food are all sort of driven by his trauma instead of him like testing them or him like whatever. And I was just like, okay, I can get behind this because it shows more humanity to Joseph than we're all taught in Bible school. That said,
did everybody here get goosebumps at the end no matter what? Because like when he reveals himself, it's very exciting.
No.
I did.
They were mean to him. He should have still been.
I mean, I don't know. Goosebumps might be strong, but I did feel something.
I was confused. What's the new younger brother's name?
Benjamin.
So I zoned out.
Benjamin. Yes.
All of a sudden, I looked up and I was like, "Why is Joseph back from the dead, but with himself?" And Jay looked up.
It was very.
They're identical cartoons.
They had like three character models that they could just.
Well, Stephanie in the chats here says what stood out to me was Joseph looked like identical to Moses.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah, same costume, just a redhead. I literally, my first note was, how many different facial hairs can they design for the brothers?
Just this weird thing, and then, like
it was like this. Yeah,
like that would be a fun contract because like they got the opening number, like they got to sing about Joseph and like give him all his I want feelings. Like, I was into it.
Yeah.
I had a good time with this one. I actually, like, I know it wasn't a great movie or whatever, but, like, if I was babysitting my nephew and niece and, like, nephews and niece, I was, like, nieces, niceties. If I was babysitting a kid and I had to watch this movie, I wouldn't be super upset. Like, this...
No, of course.
Yeah. This was not...
Is it a better movie than Return to Jafar? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I would much rather watch Return to Jafar.
Is it a better movie than Jersey Boys?
Yeah. No.
But like
this
I said,
far
like
the worst.
The bars that we've now set for us are spectacular.
Yes. Over, it's like there's always one stinker now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Joseph is a stinker.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I thought it was cute. I mean, I saw the errors and the issues, but like, I thought it was fun and like,
the songs were way better than I ever expected them to
agreed.
Be.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
There was a moment
4 hours ago.
The Joseph I Want song. There was like a specific spot where he like modulates, kind of like surprisingly. And like every, it's like all of a sudden he like does the upward option, and I was like, okay. Every
David Campbell was his singing voice. Ben Affleck did not do that. Sorry, Kevin.
Oh,
what?
Wait, I think David Campbell is in the Hey Mr. Producer concert.
He is.
Yeah, he sings Martin Gere, and he sings like the Angel Russ stuff.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you also have in this movie. You have Jodie Benson. You have Judith Light.
The cast is out of control on this film.
Oh.
Yeah. They went for it.
Jodie Benson plays the love interest, right?
Yes.
But like we had talked about before when we were doing Aladdin, like Robin Williams doing the genie role was like one of the very first times that a like celebrity instead of a like
voice actor
had done a role. So
and like, then Paris was like, all the celebrities.
Yeah, it kind of like blew up. And also like people realized like how marketable it was to use a celebrity voice. And
how much money you make as a celebrity voiceover artist.
And the celebrities realized how much they could get from so like small amount of like work as opposed to like being in a live action film.
Right.
So
I just wrote down that I'm terrified that these religious movies will mess up my cues for Hulu and Netflix. what's the word I'm thinking of?
Say again.
It's not the cue I'm thinking of. It's
the algorithm.
The algorithm.
Well, also funny thing, Kevin mentioned Dan Castellaneta, who also plays the auctioneer here, the horse trader who tries to screw Potiphar.
Yes.
Who is it?
The one who took over for Robin Williams, who does Homer Simpson, also was the voice of the trader trying to trick Potiphar.
He is rich.
I think he just started a thing where that's why like a bunch of celebrities try to get on the animation boat.
I mean, he's in every, I mean, you look at any thing, any recent voiceover thing, and Dan's name is on it. Dan, yeah. We're best friends.
Wow.
But this has a, just so we're clear, this has a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes and no consensus. So, you know, this was fine. I think it was a nice third kind of movie to watch with these. Any final thoughts on this one?
I don't
remember it a lot.
I don't see it ever again.
I will say that every production of Joseph, pictures that I've seen, because I've never seen it, have a better coat than what they could do with animation.
Yes!
The coat was a little
lackluster. I'm like, it's two colors.
It was the coat of like a few colors.
It was like four colors.
Yeah.
I know the musical pretty well. I did it in the eighth grade. I was narrator one.
Mm.
But I lost my voice, so I had to speak all of the words. And how did that back many centuries ago? Anyway, I watched the movie once. Anytime a moment popped up, and it could have been like Potiphar's song or, you know, the brother song or something, I just was like waiting for it to be a musical number and it never was. And I wanted it to be the Andrew Lloyd Webber songs and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
So I think that's another reason why I was like, oh my God, just give me the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat musicale.
They did want that so much.
It's weird that they chose to do a story that had already been translated to a musical.
What would you guys want to turn from a musical into an animated series that is a completely different musical?
Starlight Express.
Yes.
No, I'd want those songs.
Exactly.
That would actually be an incredible animated or like
stuff. Or like a crossover that and like Starlight Express meets Thomas the Tank Engine.
And Thimblejanks is there. He's the narrator of Star Wars.
He's like, back in my day on my railroad. Let's just move on to El Dorado.
Great. Yeah. Yes.
So let's go around. We'll start with Kimberly. What's your relationship with El Dorado? Wait, let's just start with who never saw this before. Oh, so Kimberly is the only person who saw this. Great. Kimberly, what was your relationship?
I loved this movie growing up. I don't know exactly. Like, I think I had it on VHS because we had an active collection, but also we watched it in sixth grade. Like, I remember like 3 days of sixth grade were watching The Road to El Dorado. And I loved it. And then maybe we watched it like also in eighth grade. I don't know. Whenever we were learning about like, you know, conquerors.
You learned about conquerors in sixth grade?
Probably. I think we were learning about the Mayans in sixth grade.
Oh, you know, the conquerors here in school? We did it as
well. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I also randomly feel like it was my idea to watch it.
Okay.
Like, I think I was that kid that was like, there's a movie that follows this.
There's a movie about Cortez.
what year did this come out?
2000.
Wait, this movie came out in 2000?
Yeah.
I feel like, was it not well, like, advertised? Because I feel
I remember it being advertised pretty heavily because of Elton John.
I think it was also my age and younger were into it.
Oh, okay.
Because I was
wasn't Prince of Egypt 2000?
98.
I mean, wasn't Joseph 2000?
Yes.
So these were both came out at the same time?
Wow.
Same year. I don't know if same time.
Oh,
yeah. Was this in movie theaters?
This came out, this came out in March of 2000. And Joseph,
is so different.
Joseph King of Dreams came out in November 7th.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so I mean, it's just about budget. This one got way more of a budget because of its theatrical release and
Ron
was attracted to it. And your voices are Kenneth Branagh and Kevin Klein. You have Rosie Perez in this. And then Armand Asante as well as Edward James Olmos. Yeah, for sure.
I was like, Battlestar, get it.
Yeah, getting closer to.
He's on Star Wars.
Maybe the right people.
He's on Battlestar
voicing these characters.
Oh, Star Wars, got it.
Yes, Kevin. So, overall thoughts on this movie, Kimberly? Was it the same for you? Did you like it more? Was it just so enjoyable to watch it again?
I had a great time. It wasn't. I remembered it being more fun. I also didn't remember that they didn't sing the songs.
They sang one of the songs, right?
Video Elton John. I was like, this isn't Tarzan, sing the songs.
I know.
Yeah, straight up the soundtrack.
Straight up Tarzan. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
They sing the first song, maybe?
No.
They sing the second song. The opening song is Elton John singing about El Dorado.
Okay.
Then I think they sing one of the other songs in there. I forget. Kevin, what were your thoughts on this?
The ball playing sequence with the armadillo.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, that was so cute.
And that game is a factual historical game that they don't really know how they played it, but they see those courts exist.
Yeah, I remember learning about it on a Disney cruise when I was
Great.
Kimberly, Stephanie also saw it in theaters and was bored, but she thinks it's because you're the same age.
Because you were bored? I can buy into the given circumstances of a fantasy pretty easy.
I had never seen it before. I went into it blind and watched it yesterday, and I thought it was fun. I mean, I thought it was like a breath of fresh air from like the seriousness of the other two movies. That it was like, yeah. they're getting the fun, and then I was like,
scary though.
It's I was into it. It felt kind of like it was the most fun. It was the most Disney-esque, which is I was a Disney kid, so like that must be why I liked this one probably the most, was because it had more of that like
same
magic. I also think like, when I was doing research, I saw that Kenneth Branagh and Kevin Kline did all of their recordings together in the same studio.
That's very evident.
That never happens.
And so it let them create an actual connection that was like very palpable in an animated film.
Yeah.
I like the animation in this too.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah, handsome men.
Lots of tension between them.
Oh my
God. Lots of tension between Miguel and Julio.
If you watch this movie as if knowing that there is like a relationship between the two main characters and like see everything that's happening between them and like the like sexual tension of like not actually being together, like Brokeback Mountain style, it makes this movie so incredible because that's what I actually thought it was about.
That's what I thought it was.
I mean, they set it up without setting it up.
I thought it was way ahead of its time. And then in our group text, Haley texted, it was like, are they together? And I was like, I thought that too.
I knew that they probably weren't, but I kept watching it. And I was like the whole time, like waiting for that moment. And I was like, I don't think it's going to happen. But I was like, the tension between them is so hot and just like buzzing.
Yeah. Especially during the first like establishing scene where they're like,
yes,
like the dice, like they're like swindling those, like,
all. Oh my God.
And then like the DiCaprio poker scene from Titanic.
Yeah. But then like traveling to El Dorado was like, the lovers have run off, you know? I mean, don't get me wrong. I actually really liked it. I thought it was fun. It was my first time seeing it. It was the first movie I watched out of all three. And sure. I only wrote three notes. But the most important one was I would like El Dorado to be a resort.
Beautiful.
And yeah.
You dive
to the spirit world.
I mean, it's basically like Atlantis, but not.
100%.
Is that a Dream Force movie?
Yeah, I think it is. Oh, no, it's 20th Century Fox. I think Atlantis is 20th Century Fox. Now it's a Disney movie.
I actually thought I'd seen this movie because I saw the Atlantis movie. It's a different movie.
I remember I watched it. So this is the first time I watched the movie, and I could tell that it was. I felt like it was the strongest movie of the three. However, I had two issues with the movie. One was I feel like because there was no, or at least because it was like Phil Collins Tarzan style, I didn't know, like there was no establishing I want song. So I was like, I remember texting the group being like, I'm like a half hour in and I don't know why I should be rooting for these main characters.
Correct.
I literally like, they just want gold? Is that what they want?
It almost starts like it's mid-story of where they're trapped. The beginning of it, and then all of a sudden it's like starts, you know.
But I'm just like, if they want gold to like get out of their economic situation, or if they want gold to like prove themselves, like there was no.
They just wanted gold.
Yeah, and I was just like, that's not enough reason for me to get on board with them. So I just felt like,
but they're so fun and have so much charisma.
Sure,
and they're in love.
And they're in love. But the second issue that I had was I liked them and I liked it felt like a movie like in made in the early aughts where it was very like I got a lot of white savior vibes in this movie.
So, yes. So here, so this is a question about, so just a correction, Atlantis is a Disney movie, not 20th Century Fox. But my question is about all the movies. Any thoughts, kind of a bigger conversation on, these are all male-led films. Any thoughts on how the females were portrayed in these three films?
I feel like... Maybe I shouldn't be the first person to talk.
I mean, very much in supporting roles, being sort of a caretaker, a pusher in the right direction. Yeah.
I mean, the only one that was an actual character maybe was Chell from the third one. Did anyone like have any thoughts on her, on the Rosie Perez character?
No, I mean, especially when it was made, it's like, well, this all makes sense. And like, yeah. And with the other two, with Prince of Egypt and with Joseph, like those are Bible stories. So it's like, we can't really have thoughts about it. I feel like, because that's like, you know, someone's old book stories, but yeah. El Dorado at least was...
I feel like they did their best in terms of like elevating the existing female characters, but still, again, like these are movies made in the times that they were made.
Yeah,
they tried.
Like, could easily not been the love interest and just been like the spunky sidekick who's like, "Hey, I also would like some gold. Let me help you swindle these people."
Right.
Like it's the same kind of, without getting too like making this a completely different conversation, it's the same reason why like Joseph, King of Dreams, Joseph is the whitest looking one out of all of the brothers. Like,
yeah.
Well, he's the miracle child, Aaron.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
it's so like in your face at the beginning. It's like very, honestly, the miracle child song made me very uncomfortable. And I had a hard time getting into the movie because of that song.
That was awful.
And it's then I kind of got into it once I, I don't know, allowed myself to be lower look it. So, which is like,
you're a better human than me. I could not overlook that.
And meanwhile, Ben Affleck is the voice, and it's just like, come on, guys.
Yeah, no.
I mean, so it's the same vein of like El Dorado, where it's like you have these two. Yes, they're Spanish. They're European Spanish, like coming.
But they're
into this,
blonde.
They're coming into
they're this, British like, and American.
They're coming into this like native Latin community and telling them how wrong they are for like their culture, and it's like,
yeah.
It feels a little icky, even though the movie itself is very good. Like,
sure. Yeah, I don't have any strong thoughts about that because, like, well, it was made then, and like,
exactly,
those conversations weren't happening then. So, like,
yeah,
whatever. Let it live during that time and enjoy it for what it is. Of like, this was pretty good for that time.
Yeah. Oh no, I totally agree. And that's why it's like, oh, it feels like a product of the time that it was made. That said, like, I'm like, it was a pretty good movie. I was happy.
Now that we've talked about the three movies, Kevin, do you have a quiz for us?
I do. Oh my God, I have a quiz. It's going to be a fun rapid fire kind of quiz. And the people listening can play at home because you can send your answer and I can see it as well. And we'll see if you beat our panel here. So all I'm going to do is very simple. I'm going to read out a movie name. And this movie is a property that one of the actors, that the voice actor of one of these movies was also in. So you're trying to give it to me. So if it was like, if I said like Forrest Gump, it might be Tom Hanks if he was a voice of one of these movies.
Okay.
Got it.
So do we yell out the actor or do we yell out?
You're yelling out the actor name.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
The first one is Top Gun.
Val Kilmer.
He was Moses. Dogma.
Ben Affleck.
Correct. Brian got a second point there, even though I don't want to give it to him. There was Ben Affleck. Hairspray.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Haley gets the point. She better have. A Fish Called Wanda.
Kevin Klein.
Brian gets a point.
I don't watch movies, so this is very hard for me.
Brian's good at movies.
The voice of the Joker on Batman the Animated Series.
Mark Hamill.
Aaron gets that point.
Aaron, good job.
Brian, Brian's going to get this one. The net.
Sandra Bullock.
Never even heard of that.
Nanette.
Nanette?
No, Nanette.
Marmee in Little Women the Musical.
Oh,
not Judith Light.
No.
Yes, Aaron got it. Maureen McGovern.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Kenneth Branagh.
Ray Fiennes. Correct.
It's Kenneth Branagh and Ralph Fiennes, so you both get a point.
Is he in that one?
I don't know.
Logan.
Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
Oh, that's a movie?
Yes, he's in this movie.
Matt Dukri from
giving the cheerleader over in the corner. Like, yay, Brian!
The voice of Thumbelina.
Jodie Benson.
Yes.
Jodie Benson by Thumbelina? I didn't know that.
Yes. She's one who sings Let Me Be Your Wings, which is like one of the greatest songs ever written for animated movie.
Oh,
literally never heard it.
Birds of Prey.
Rosie Perez.
Correct.
Yeah.
Really?
Good job.
Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
Helen Mirren.
Yes.
Oh my God, Ryan.
I saw that movie in high school and thought I was a badass.
Helen Mirren playing these movies?
She was Mrs. Tingle.
No, she was Potiphar's wife, right?
Or she was Potiphar's wife.
Who goes on to... That scene was intense. I was not expecting aggressive of a scene.
Pharaoh's wife in Prince of Egypt.
So yeah, she was Pharaoh's wife.
Yeah.
Oh, then who was? Oh, Judith Light was Potiphar.
Judith Light was Potiphar.
Oh, right.
There you go.
Who's the boss?
Judith Light.
Judith Light.
You all get points except for Brian.
Cool.
Lethal Weapon.
Danny Glover.
Yeah, Danny Glover was in this.
Who does he play in these movies?
He was Jethro, Moses' father-in-law.
The one that grinds up with things.
He is like Michelle Pfeiffer's dad. And Rachel's two dads from Glee, both of them were in these movies.
Stokes and Goldblum.
Yes, Brian Stokes Mitchell and Jeff Goldblum.
They were on Glee.
Haley won the game, everybody.
Yay! The point was to not answer any questions.
Brian lost really bad.
I know. I didn't listen to the rules. I didn't realize that getting the answers would losing me points.
Well, you should learn.
Negative.
Brian, we're in quarantine. Everything's backwards now, man.
What is the game?
So before we end this, did we do El Dorado's Rotten Tomatoes?
No.
48% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That makes me so sad.
Predictable story and thin characters made the movie flat.
Wow. We're useless, you guys.
Well, on that note, let's go around. What are your ranking of these three in terms of your favorite to least favorite?
Do we all have the same? El Dorado, Prince of Egypt, Joseph.
Yep.
That's mine.
Mine is Prince of Egypt, El Dorado, Joseph. I might be there too. I love a sweeping epic.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you all for joining us. This was super fun.
Yes,
you could say it wasn't. It's okay. This was great. Remember, for your homework for next week, we're watching The Muppets. We're watching the original Muppet movie from the 70s. We're watching Muppet Treasure Island from the 90s.
Yeah.
And then or early 2000s, I forget. And then we're watching, I love Muppet Treasure Island.
It's so good.
I've never seen it.
I have watched none of these movies.
The score in Muppet Treasure Island is spectacular.
You've never seen a Muppet movie?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
We're watching the Muppets, the one with that Jason Segel wrote with Amy Adams.
I haven't seen that one either.
So those are all on Disney Plus. We're going to stream and watch those for next week. Thank you all so much for joining us. Again, you can find Aaron at Aaron J. Albano. You can find Haley at Haley_Pachoon. You can find us at Broadwasted. Find us on Spotify on BPN, as well as on iTunes. Rate and review us there.
Five stars, please.
Thank you.
And again, thank you so much. You know, we always thank our guests. You know, Shalala Joseph, you're doing fine. You and your dream coat ahead of your time. That's our quote for this episode.
Oh, nice to sneak that one in.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank you for joining us during this quarantine time. Everyone stay happy, healthy, and safe. And keep checking out bpn.fm/broadwasted. As well, just bpn.fm, because the Broadway Podcast Network is doing some really awesome programming right now during this coronavirus situation. So keep touch with everything happening in the theater world by going to bpn.fm.
Yep, and you'll find episodes from us on Fridays and Tuesdays during this time. We're happy to give you that extra content. Yeah. But as we end every episode, we raise our glasses.
We do.
And we say... cheers. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.